Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave, so much. You know what? I have to say this to you today, so get ready for this, all right? We have no idea how it's going to go. Now, some of these plans were just made in the past few days. There's been mail back and forth to Rick Scott in Los Angeles, and plans were afoot to get Jonathan Butler here at the top of the hour. Now, I know how crushing that schedule is for Jonathan, so I figured, okay, if he doesn't call at the top of the hour, we are cool. We're ready to roll no matter what the circumstances. You feel me? And then we might be hearing from someone else who will remain nameless in the next hour, possibly later on this hour. And then at 3 o'clock Eastern time, it will be swinging in tongues. Wayne and Todd will be here from the hilarious trio that has entertained me royally in the past couple of weeks ever since I got Tongue Jazz. That's the name of the CD, don't be alarmed. So, we are going to roll with it, and we're going to play something by Jonathan Butler if I don't see his name or his phone number appear in the next few seconds. It's okay. If you have not heard Merry Christmas to You, his brand new CD, the first Christmas CD that Jonathan has done, wait till you hear it. Here is a song he wrote, the title track on Hybrid Jazz.
Forever.
first heard that song, it threw me right back to the street corners of Philadelphia where we heard some doo-wop sounds that were just too fantastic to describe. But no, this gentleman is from South Africa originally, although now he's an international legend. Merry Christmas to You is the title track of this absolutely sublime Christmas album. And we have the man of the hour with us right now. Ladies and gentlemen, please make welcome again the constantly amazing Jonathan Butler. Hello, sir.
Hello, and Merry Christmas to you. I think I'm you just put me in a Christmas spirit just listening to the songs.
Oh, Jonathan, let me just say how you put me in the Christmas spirit. Are you ready for this right at the top?
I am so excited about Christmas. You know, it's my family, and it's our favorite time. It's a very special time for us. As a matter of fact, I'm flying in all my family from South Africa to come and spend Christmas in Los Angeles with us, so we can really usher in a experience and what it was like for us growing up and the memories of our parents and our uncles and our aunties and the neighborhood. And you know, I'm very, 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 very proud of that I actually finally made a Christmas album. I was probably the only artist on the road with Dave Cars without a Christmas record. And all the fans would always ask me, when are you going to make a Christmas album? So there it is, you know.
Well, and you made it in record time. You have never done a project that was done in, what, a week or so?
I think it should be in the Guinness Book of Records, really, because I think I should be in the Guinness Book of Records because I was on a cruise, a 2-week jazz cruise, and I remember getting off the ship, and I started this record on a Saturday and finished it on a Saturday, and you know, nobody knew it but me and the house, the family at home, and then I just sort of, you know, took the CD to the president of the record company and said, take a listen and let me know if you like it or not. You know, and he called me back a few days, and he said, "My goodness, JB, we have to master it and get it done because I love it." You know, I played him the first Noel. That's the only song I actually sort of sang to him. But take a listen to this, and you know, and you know, it's very personal. The songs are very, very personal. Of course, people know the songs from way back. Those are classic Christmas songs. But I just kind of did it very intimately. Just I felt the guitar and the voice would be enough to convey the message and capture the essence of what these songs really mean to me, you know.
It sure was. And, Jonathan, I'm going to say this in front of all of these people who are listening live and who will be in the archives. This is the first time that I've heard a Christmas project. I listened very intently because it's you.
Yes.
I know that it's obligatory when one does a Christmas album to do the so-called secular songs. And I love that you did them because a couple of them are my favorites. I'll Be Home for Christmas. Oh my God.
Yes.
But
here's
what you did. Here is what you managed to do. You took Sweet Little Jesus Boy. You took the first Noel and Oh Holy Night, which made me drop to my knees, by the way. You did them in such a way, you made them prayers and you made them praise. And you did it in such a personal way that anybody listening is going to feel the power of your faith.
Amen, amen. Well, you know, it comes from the same well. You know, when people talk to me, when I talk to Christians or non-Christians about faith and relationship to God and religion, and somebody once called me up and said, "Do you ever get any criticism for expressing your faith on stage?" And I said, "I've never once had anyone sort of come up to me and confronted me about that." And I said, "It's because, you know, people are only now sort of beginning to understand and accept that I've been, you know, that I'm a born-again Christian almost over 30 years before I met my wife." And so this has sort of been a long journey of prayer and wait and patience to be released, I would say, to do gospel and to share the worship that I do and have and is. And so now, you know, I'm telling you, it's crazy. Even when I'm on a jazz festival, if I don't sing Falling in Love with Jesus, somebody's going to get upset with me. You know, I'm blessed to be, you know, I really thank God for allowing me to parallel my, you know, my journey from, because, you know, a lot of people, and these are discussions I have every day with musicians and people. I say, you know, some of us are called to serve inside of the house. Some of us are called to serve outside. And my calling is to serve outside, you know. And I,
yes.
Even though I go to church and sing in church, these songs like A Holy Night and First Noel, they are incredibly, they're such an anointing if you allow for the Spirit of God to move in these songs instead of trying to overproduce them and oversing them and overdo them, like, you know. So I always try to sort of find a way to just allow God to breathe on these songs, and so I can get out of the way, let people, you know, just sort of feel the essence and the spirit of what these songs really represent, you know.
Well, it has to be someone singing those songs who really believes. And I dare
Amen.
Anyone listening to the CD that if you don't feel Jonathan coming to you in a way that makes you understand how one person can be so infused with, I'm going to go to church here, the Holy Spirit, Jonathan, you really are. And we just had this discussion yesterday with another gentleman who is based in Atlanta, Sean Michael Ray,
yes.
who's a bassist who has toured with
yes.
Maxwell. Oh, you know him. Okay.
Yes.
So we were talking about this notion of not holding back when we say the name of Jesus. We can't hold
yes.
back any longer
no,
because people are...
No,
no,
no, no. I think we're living in a society where I feel... You know, we all have friends and colleagues and family, and we all have the right and freedom to speak out, and especially when you're speaking out from a place of belief, that you know that this is who I am, and it's not like you know, for me it's I don't really believe in Bible slapping people around with the Bible. You're going to go to hell if you have a glass of Chardonnay. You're going to go to hell. No,
right.
I think when you come from a place of faith and belief that you know that what you're believing in is what you're living, what you're walking, what you're talking. In other words, you're not just, you know, Liberace on stage with fancy jackets, and then at home you're just this monster of a person that nobody wants to be around. I think
okay.
it's being consistently the Christian that you should be. Being consistently the type of person where when people listen to you speak, they get you. They get you from the beginning. They say, well, this guy really, you know, I think he's legitimate. This is what he does. This is what he is. Or this is who she is. This is what she does. And so I think it's very important for me and for all of us. It's like there are some people that, you know, I always say, you know, sometimes you have a great artist who can make great records in the studio. And then when you put the same artist on the stage, you wonder what happened, you know, what happened? Where is the magic that I heard on the record? Where's the magic?
Mm-hmm.
Or even when you meet the person in real life, you say, my goodness, you're nothing like I would have expected. So I think it comes from a place of real belief that you know that this is really, you know, this is my heart. And I think part of that is the vulnerability side of who I am. I think it's part of being transparent. I'm not afraid to share my heart with people when I'm hurting, when I'm going through the valleys, you know, and when I have that, you know, as life is, you know, it has its ups and downs, and I sort of let people in on that it happens to me as well. It just doesn't happen just to people who I watch on TV, but it happens to all of us, musicians, actors, or I watched the Nelson Mandela movie and I read the book, and you know, I find myself saying, wow. If it could happen to Nelson Mandela, it could definitely happen to a person like myself or anyone. We have
mm-hmm.
our moments, you know. We do have our moments in life where it makes us stronger. That's why I said it took me 30 years I'm just praying through and waiting patiently for God to release me to go out and sing, worship, and sing, play jazz guitar. As I told somebody out the other day, so look, how can I just throw away the years of listening to Miles Davis and to Wes Montgomery and to Donny Hathaway? It's only because I'm saved. I have to throw these people out in the trash. I said, these people have taught me a lot about music and appreciation for music. So
yes.
I think, you know, there's a little bit of a discussion about what is, I think, religious and what is relationship building and what is what I call, you know, development and creation and recreating and reinventing yourself as an artist, you know. Yeah.
Well, you have done a masterful job since you were a young'un doing that, because we have a lady in the chat room, Jonathan. This is the first
yes.
time she has visited us. Her name is Demi Rose. She lives in South
yes.
Africa.
Yes.
So she wanted to make sure that she heard you, because she didn't know until yesterday that you were going to be on the show, and she reached
yes.
out and said, is this the same Jonathan Butler that I used to listen to when I was little? Yes, Danny,
yeah.
it is.
Yeah,
oh.
you know, it is. It is. It's the same little Jonathan, yeah, but except he's 52 years old right now, so.
Oh, well.
a grandfather, so it's a beautiful thing, you know. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, you know, I'm so blessed. I listened to the song on the radio. I mean, you know, it's actually crazy because I'm listening to the song for the first time when I put the phone to my ear, and I was like, wow, that is your record. And I start rehearsing today with Dave Kars for the Christmas tour. We got 22 cities that we're doing, so
yes.
I better learn the words to my songs.
And speaking of that tour, my gosh, I see that you are, listen to this, everybody, and listen for your town, because you're starting out in Sarasota,
yes.
and then
yes,
you're going to Georgia, North
yes.
Carolina, Virginia, coming
yes.
here to Baltimore, Ohio,
yes.
Chicago, New York, California.
Yes,
wow.
We are going all around, and what a great, you know, Dave Kars, Aletta Adams, Keiko Matsui. You can find, you got a Jewish guy, you got a Japanese artist, you have an African-American artist, and then you got a real African artist. And it's
yes.
an incredible package of great fusion of blessings and Christmas. I mean, I can't wait. I just can't wait. It's going to be really great.
Oh, and especially, I'm really interested to see the chemistry between you and Aletta, because I think that she has probably longed for this moment more than most
yeah.
artists to be absolutely sharing a stage with you.
You know, I sang with her this year on the one of the cruises we did, and we did a tribute to Bill Withers. We did just the two of us, and her voice is immaculate. Her piano ability, voice and piano ability is incredible. So I'm really a huge fan of hers, and I look at her as a sister, and she's such an amazing person. We share this, you know, we have the same, we have a lot in common. We love the Lord, and there's really, you can see it. You can see it in her countenance. You can see that she's really someone special, you know. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I know that Dave Kars is probably so excited to have you there, and it's always so interesting to me, Jonathan. I'm smiling because Dave
mm-hmm.
is coming from a different direction, but you seem to settle his spirit in such a way that it's powerful to see that come alive on stage.
Well, you know, it's the Bible story and the relationship between Jonathan and David. So, you know, there is a relationship between Jonathan and David that has gone on over, oh my gosh, over 16 years or more. I've known Dave for much longer, I think. And over the years, you know, he's a family friend. He's like a brother to me, and he always is very concerned about me, and is very concerned about presenting the right Christmas show and allowing allowing God to come into the show and be part of it, because it's what he loves. He says he loves that, you know, that there is there's a spirituality aspect to the Christmas show, and it's not just music. So a lot of happens in, and I think, you know, it's cool because, you know, we got to keep sowing seeds out there, you know, seeds of hope and faith and charity and love and kindness and goodwill. And he's been a good guy, and he's such a committed guy too, you know, he's very focused, and I need that around me too, you know.
He's wonderful, and what you said is very powerful, because honestly, between last year and this year, we have seen people that we have loved who leave us suddenly.
Yes.
And
yes.
We can't
yes.
hesitate anymore, because we don't know. I mean, tomorrow was not promised to us. Today is what we have. So
yes, that's right. That's right.
If we're sowing those
that's
seeds,
right.
We yeah. will have fulfilled our promise to God, because he's given
yes.
us so many.
Yes, yes. You know, I just received a letter a few days, or an email a few days ago, you know, and it's a fan. It's a couple whose wife is about to go into surgery, and he requested a song, "When I Come Into His Town." And I think messages and stories like that really always move me, because when we think that there are people not listening and paying attention, there are people paying attention, they are listening,
yes.
and they are in need. They are, especially this time, you know, things happen, you know, things just happen. We lost George Duke, we lost his
yes.
wife, we lost Wayman, you know, I lost a good friend of mine who was my tour manager about 2 or 3 weeks ago that I didn't know.
Aww.
And these are things,
Jonathan.
That sort of makes you think about, you know, call your friends and love your family, and, you know, if your husband fell up the wrong side, got up on the wrong side of the bed, love him anyway.
Yes.
Love him anyway. So, I think I have a calling. I really believe strongly that calling, and I must fulfill it until the day that I see my Savior, and when he sees me, I would like to hear the words, "Well done." That's what I'd like to hear, you know.
Oh,
like
no
to.
Doubt.
Yeah.
You will do that, and honestly, the fulfillment of your ministry, because it's much more than a career, it's a ministry, that
yes.
the words of the prayers, prayer of Jabez come to mind, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory," and that's
Amen.
What you're doing. That's what you're
Amen.
Doing.
Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Well, I love you guys. Keep playing that Christmas record. And
we will.
And I'll see you when I get to town.
Yes, you will. And I'll tell
okay.
folks after I play this song where they can get their tickets, Jonathan. Thank you so much.
Okay, my love. Blessings, eh? Blessings.
Blessings to you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Jonathan Butler right there on his way to get to a rehearsal so that he can start this Christmas tour. And we'll get to more specifics about where you can see where he's going to be. Actually, the best rule of thought is jonathanbutler.com, because then you'll see the cities. Then you have to go to where the venue is going to be and get tickets through there, or wherever you want to get tickets. For us in Baltimore, it's lyricoperahouse.com, and that's easy to remember. Are you ready for this? I'm not sure you are. I'm going to play it for you anyway. It's a 7-minute version of Jonathan Butler doing "O Holy Night" from "Merry Christmas to You" on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Shining, yes, of our dear Savior's blood. Long lay the world in sin and real time till he appears and the soul finds its worth. A thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees and hear the angels' voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night divine, for on your knees and hear the angels' voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night divine.
This is Hybrid Jazz. So if you've been listening for the past few minutes and heard that interesting little mix between something so powerfully spiritual and then that amazingly playful version on guitar of Sleigh Ride, you know the different kinds of sides that Jonathan is showing on this new CD, Merry Christmas to You. The cool thing is, and isn't this nice, when you get a new CD that's all about the holiday season, when someone has felt the inspiration to write two new songs. Woo! And that's the case here. I'm just so tickled. The title track and Happy Holidays. And more about this CD, and we didn't get to it, but you know what? That was just perfect because I knew that time was going to be of the essence with Jonathan, and I thank him so much. And thank you, Rick Scott, so very much for always taking care of your sister in Maryland. That's just too awesome. On the CD with him is the lovely Jody Butler, Jonathan's daughter, also Dan Lutz on upright bass, Rick Braun, Paul Schultz, Weimer, you say Weimer, I say Weimer, who's now back in the UK, and Dave Koz, who is going to be in a happier frame of mind, because that's usually a story when he and Jonathan have a chance to work together. Can you imagine this Dave Koz and Friends Christmas tour with Alita Adams and Keiko Matsui? Phew! And once again, here's how it goes down. I actually looked at the itinerary. Starts out November the 29th in Sarasota. Then they have another date in Florida. They go to Georgia, North Carolina, Virginia, Baltimore. He's going to be at the Lyric, actually, everybody, on the 5th of December. And then Ohio, Chicago, back to Ohio, New York, Michigan, Indiana, California, Texas, Arizona, and back to home turf, California, for mostly everybody. So nice. Ooh, they're going to be tired. But it's going to be a wonderful opportunity for you to see some true camaraderie on stage, honestly. JonathanButler.com has more information. And away we go. We don't really know what's going to happen at the top of the next hour. We'll see. Put a bookmark in that thought. But at the top of the last hour will be Swinging in Tongues. And I have to say this because Todd Guggins, one-third of the group, is in the chat room. So our friend Carenza, I know she had a little winky face, tongue firmly in cheek, as it were, when she said to me, "Ooh, Swinging in Tongues, that sounds suggestive." I said, "Yes, kind of, but it's more playful than suggestive." And I thought to myself, I wonder how Jonathan Butler is going to take the fact that he's sharing the stage with Swinging in Tongues. I love it. Look, you have to present all sides of the story, right? Just as long as you know what the answer is. That's all I'm saying about that. Let's get into some more music, and I want to do a classic and a half. Can we please go back to 1965 now that we've heard a couple of new things? Lee Morgan, God rest his soul, one of the great trumpet players ever. Philadelphia guy, and look, I can be objective about that. From Cornbread, from that glorious year of 1965, Ciora on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
everything I felt would disappear. But what was I thinking? Had I lost my mind? There's nothing I can do. No, 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 no. Said it would be the last time.
One more time.
Apparently you had something else in mind. 'Cause nothing's changed. Everything remains the same. There's no escaping you. No escaping you.
Vocal ability of Micah Chevalier, and I'll tell you why. It is just so doggone exciting to see friends who are just shining. And this show is a little bit off the chain anyway because of what could be transpiring in the next couple of minutes, or not. It'll be fine anyway. 3 o'clock, swinging in tongues. Here is Micah Chevalier. Now, let me explain to you, because this is a lot of information to take in, all right? Now, Micah Chevalier is based in Washington, D.C., has been ton of success. Different forays with different folks, and then her own leadership ability with Micah Chevalier and the Rue Project. This is from Guilty Pleasures, which is a recreation, if you will, by Rick White, who is this masterful bassist and songwriter and producer. He wrote these songs for this CD a few years ago, Love Stories, that were just off the chain. And you just heard one of them called The Urge, featuring Micah Chevalier. There are more vocalists involved on the CD. You have to pick it up because the lyrical content of these songs is such that you just don't see it every day. These are original songs, and there's a way of looking at love and relationships that's just mind-blowing. So that's the name of the CD. I'm just looking at my son, who's not supposed to be here. But anyway, I digress, because now I've changed my positioning in the kitchen to look out the window. Rick White is the mind behind the Guilty Pleasures Love Story CD. Micah Chevalier is the voice that you just heard. Micah's going to be at Blues Alley this Tuesday. That's showtime at 8 o'clock and then at 10 p.m. And you can get the tickets through bluesalley.com. And I just want to be able to tell you that here is who she is going to have with her. And I do this for the benefit of Art Mosley, who may be listening today, because he just said something that is just so silly. Apparently people are going back to old pictures that we have on Facebook and just being thrilled. Micah is going to have with her Kevin Walker on bass, Craig Alston. Let me get to the, since I'm positioned differently, I've got to get to the scene of the crime here and get to the information. All right, let's see here. All right, here we go. Is this who we have? Hold on. At Craig Alston, he's going to be playing sax. Daoud Saeed will be playing keyboard. And Nick Ransom and Christy Ransom will be there with Micah. This is family, and we're going to have the Prince twins, too. We're going to have Mark on keyboard, and let me see. Hold on, am I missing anybody? Michael will refresh me if I am. Let's see. All right. This is crazy, I know, but I only have one hand to do all of this. So let me just see. Crazy, I know, but this is the way we do it. If I miss anybody, I'll go back. I'm just so excited because, honestly, I don't know really what's transpiring over the next hour or so. But Micah Chevalier is going to be with this stellar, stellar group of people on Tuesday at Blues Alley. And coming up is another gentleman who we'll hear in the next hour of the show who's going to be doing something really special tomorrow night. Let us tell you, too, that you heard, did you ever, from Charles Lloyd and Jason Moran from Hagar's Song. This was a CD that was released earlier this year, and can't say enough about what is on the album. Charles Lloyd is one of these masters of the saxophone, born in Memphis, and he has actually a League of Nations in his bloodline. There's so much going on when you look at that beautiful face. You can just see ancient cultures. And you know what? He plays like that. It's really very special. The song that you heard is called Pretty Girl, which I thought was appropriate to play right before Micah. This is one of those saxophonists, and he also plays flute. He's actually multi-instrumental. Charles has been seasoned to such a point that he's had a series of relationships with keyboard players. There's something real intuitive with him on sax with a particular kind of keyboard player. He's been with Jason Moran now, who you've heard, for several years. There's something magical when they play together, as you just heard, with that song, which was written by Billy Strayhorn. Another story entirely, and I'm just going to throw an aside to you about Billy Strayhorn. The memory of his birthday is coming up on the 29th of November, and he passed away in 1967. Billy Strayhorn and Duke Ellington had a beautiful relationship. Duke considered him to be a father figure to this diminutive genius. Billy Strayhorn, very, very different for those times because those were the times that you could not discuss things like this. Billy was openly gay, and there were people that were around him that were very close and nurturing and protective. And one of those people, and this is where it gets to be an unusual set of circumstances, Billy Strayhorn took Lena Horne under his wing and gave voice to her in a sense because he put his classical training to use and made her shine even brighter. And she considered him to be the love of her life, even though she knew that there was no hope for that relationship to come to fruition the way she would have liked. I thought that was so interesting, and it makes Billy Strayhorn's music seem that much more palpable because when he collaborated with Duke Ellington, that was one story, but his own work was so intense. Phew, had to share that. CharlesLloyd.com has more information about where he is going to be. You should know that he has a set of Charles Lloyd and Friends that consists of Reuben Rogers, Eric Harlan, and Bill Frisell. And then he's going to be with another group of friends consisting of Gerald Clayton and Joe Sanders. Gerald is just over the moon about that, no doubt. Phew. Lee Morgan, let us tell you about Lee, and we'll move on to more music, but it's just one of those exciting days where I'm talking. 1965, 25 albums as leader, over 250 artists that he shared either performance stage with or in the recording studio or just to play with. left us too soon at the age of 33. That's a story that we won't get into because it's sad. We want to be happy. Cornbread, the name of the album. And on it, Larry Ridley, Herbie Hancock, Hank Mobley, Billy Higgins, and Jackie McLean. You know, just the cats hanging out around that time. Lee Morgan played with Dizzy, actually, at the age of 18. Coltrane on Blue Train. Oh, please go get that for the holiday season. Art Blakey, so many more, but he stood alone in the way that he played that trumpet, as you could tell with that particular track, Ciora. Much to say about Lee Morgan, but there's a lot that is out in paper, or if you prefer, online about him, and you need to educate yourself because that's one of the masters. Let's see. We've got Swinging in Tongues coming up next hour, and we've got more music to play. The aforementioned gentleman that has a concert, a big one, coming up tomorrow night with some proceeds going to the B. Gaddy Foundation. They are actually looking for you to help with their huge Thanksgiving feast. B. Gaddy is legendary in Baltimore, and so is this gentleman becoming so. On guitar, who has played guitar and bass for a long, long time, Kevin Jackson, who we just had on the show a few days ago, from Stories in Color, the new CD. This is KJ on Hybrid Jazz. That song has a whole new meaning now. Man, that is one of the standout tracks on Debbie Poole's CD. Debbie Poole is one of those gems that we have in Baltimore, and have known Debbie for a long time. She's been on the show. She's been on a few shows now. She is honestly the reincarnation of Phyllis Hyman to a large extent. When she does a Phyllis medley on stage, it's crazy. Crazy. And then when she has our friend Ray Gaskins, who normally plays sax, sing harmony, there is some earth, wind, and fire elevation going on. It really is. She's amazing, and I have to tell you this story, and I don't want to be sad, but it really does bear mentioning that that song is not by accident that we play today. Debbie, at the beginning of the year, had a party. Her boyfriend, Matt, wanted to do something special because Debbie didn't ever have this kind of party before. So on her birthday, January the 1st, yes, there was a small gathering in their house. And what nobody knew, because Matt hadn't filled us in, we just knew it was going to be a surprise party. But what he had was the surprise for everybody, which was that he asked Debbie to marry him that day. So in this gathering was this remarkable woman, Cecilia. And Cecilia was one of those people, women especially, when a woman is forthcoming, when she looks at you with love and tells you the truth, when her eyes light up because you have just said something that has astounded her, she has to reply back in kind. And she has to tell you what your life is going to be like because in many senses of the word, she was a prophet. So whether you liked it or not, you were gonna get told what was real by Cecilia, and you never minded because you knew that she was coming from a place of love. Beautiful woman, inside and out, and we had an opportunity, the girls, to spend some time at lunch and dinner this past year. And I hate to have to tell you, on the heels of another treasure that we lost in the past 24, 48 hours, Carol Ray, who was the manager for Nick Colleone and his dear, dear friend. We lost her, and we lost Cecilia to stage 4 lung cancer. I'm telling you this because this is the opportunity now, right before Thanksgiving, to hold on to what you have for dear life. Because, again, as the conversation with Jonathan Butler went, tomorrow is not promised. You have today. So if you can, make things right today and make sure your relationships are firmed up so that you can wake up tomorrow morning going, you know what? I've told everybody I need to tell them I love them. You really do have to do that. Promise me. We heard a song from Shawn Michael Ray. Have to tell you about this gentleman, and I know that time is moving along. Shawn Michael Ray is based in Atlanta, but from Birmingham, Alabama. Great friends with Eric Essex, who you know and love. Great friends with Tracy Hamlin, who was a part of those ladies' nights out that we just alluded to, and has sung, been on stage with Eric and Sean and company a number of times. Her dream team, that's what Tracy describes them as. Shawn Michael Ray has been around for a while playing bass, and now he's got a new CD out called Overdue. That lovely song that you heard was Arms Wide Open, Jesus is Waiting, which in light of what you have just heard makes perfect sense to play. Sean is a hybrid. Todd Guggins is in the chat room. He'll love that. You can hear everything. Sean loves funk. He loves R&B. He loves jazz. He does not like to be pigeonholed at all. He has written for a number of different kinds of endeavors and has been able to be in some significant soundtracks, including The First Wives Club and one of my favorites, The Truth About Cats and Dogs, with Uma Thurman and Janine Garofalo. Hold your hand up if you have a favorite line from that movie. I have one that I cannot say on this show. But Sean has been a part of a lot of different kinds of endeavors, and now with this new CD, he's also played with Maxwell, by the way, and Gerald Albright and Sheila E. So, you know, he is certainly a credible musician. So, Sean, God love you. You know I do. And someday you'll be on the show and we'll talk about all of this. So beautiful to see that kind of blossoming. And we said this earlier, to see these beautiful artists come into their own, it's magnificent. Who did we miss? Kevin Jackson. Let us tell you about this, because we have to get all of this out of the way before we make way for Swinging in Tongues at the top of the next hour. This is going to be one of those situations, Kevin Jackson in concert tomorrow night in Baltimore. I'm looking for the information here. Let's see. And you know what? I have three screens up. It is never enough. Honest to God, it is never enough. And if it's just me here doing all the controls, you can imagine. So here we are. Why doesn't he have all this information up on his Facebook page? I'm telling you, he's amazing. He's going to be at the Creative Alliance tomorrow night, an evening of giving thanks, music by Kevin Jackson. Doors open 7:30, showtime 8 o'clock. $20 general admission, $15 for Creative Alliance patrons. Donations of canned goods and non-perishable food items accepted for the annual B. Getty Thanksgiving dinner. Music by KevinJackson.com or CreativeAlliance.org has more information that you need to know. Yay! Kevin, and that's from Stories in Color. You heard KJ, as in Kevin Jackson. So away we go, and Todd is here. Wayne is going to be here at the top of the hour. Something a little different right now. We go from the talk of Swinging in Tongues to something that was out in 1958, and it's all to celebrate the birthday and the remembrance of Don Cherry. Here he is with Ornette Coleman, and this is called The Blessing, from Live in L.A., Hillcrest Performance on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz. Track is so hot. Let's tell you how hot it is. The dogs came out next door. Honest to gosh, quiet all this time. And this is just the tip of the iceberg about the kind of reaction you get to that song. This is brand new. Gino Goss has had a couple of debuts this week. He's very excited about the song, and he should be. Black Zulu is the name of this. And the first time I heard it, Gino sent it to me last week or so, and I was just so honored that he did. He is so creative. Trumpet and flugelhorn maestro. And that track sounded like Weather Report and Chuck Mangione got married. Honestly, it's just this amazing global effort where every kind of influence that means something that's tribal and true comes together. I love it. Gino Goss has been a recipient of Indie Music Channel Awards. He's very heavily involved in the independent music, the artist category, and involved in Independent Artist Festival, which is iTrackIAF.com. He's this beautiful spirit, and you just can't help it. If you have that much goodness inside of you, the music is going to translate to be breathtaking. GinoGossBlogspot.com has information. I might have to play that song again. I never do this, but I might have to play the song again. It's just really, look, when you have a song that makes you think about hopeful situations happening for the new year, and here we are. We're coming to a close of 2013. On the way to 2014, gotta have some hope. And that song gave me hope, brought out this warrior spirit in me, the other alternative version of me, Shaniqua. I love it. Thank you, Gino, for that. We really do have to play that regularly. We heard Weather Report, did we ever? Elegant People from Black Market in 1976, actually recorded in December of 1975. The seventh Weather Report album, the first that featured Jaco Pastorius on a couple of tracks. And that was a Wayne Shorter song. Woo! Alphonse Johnson joining the Wondrous Tribe here. And Narda Michael Walden on a track or two. Also Jaco, of course, and Alex Acuna, Joe Zawinul. Yeah. Beautiful stuff, isn't it? Oh, my. And we heard, too, from Ornette Coleman and Don Cherry. And just to let you know, we're thinking about Don Cherry. He was born the same day as our great friend Tony Bunn, November the 18th. 1936 for Donald Eugene Cherry, and passed away October 19th, 1995. Another jazz trumpeter, well known, of course, for that association with Ornette Coleman. They had a simpatico together. They understood the avant-garde nature of what they perceived to be confining elements in jazz. And Don just had his own following. An interesting-looking guy, and just had this kind of spirit that made a legion of fans, and I hesitate to say this, but you'll understand, another one of those cats that didn't necessarily get the recognition he deserved because of the creativity. You know, in jazz circles, they all went through their periods of time where if you played something different, the others that were playing the standard fare would chafe at the notion of who you were. And then years later, you're a god. You know how it works. I don't have to tell you. And speaking of which, we're about to embark on an interview with two of the guys, three, actually, in force of Swingin' in Tongues. But they're doing something different, a throwback, as it were, to what was great, actually, back in the 50s and early 60s, which they are transforming into 2013 language and doing it just so masterfully, but with a different twist. Now, I'm not exactly sure that I have one of these gentlemen on the line, but I'm just going to try my best. I see that we have a 214 area code here, and I'm just going to see who's on the phone. Hello, who is this?
Hello, Trish Hennessy. This is Gino Goss.
Gino, it's you. Oh, my God, I'm so glad you called. Did you just hear me wax poetic about you?
Yeah, everybody was dancing here and acting so crazy. It was so much fun.
Oh, my God. Gino, you know what? I love that song. I love Black Zulu.
Thank you. Thank you, Trish.
And what is it? I mean, because I have my own inspiration, and we shared this. What is it that inspired you? Was there a particular image that you had in mind? Because the images that we've had on the Facebook pages are quite startling. You could see how many likes that you've had as far as these beautiful pictures are concerned, what was it that inspired you?
Well, I was looking for a guy at the time, Trish. I know I'm not going to hold you up, but I know you got other guests coming on, but just
that's
briefly.
Okay. I'm tickled.
I was looking for a guy that could bring some energy to it and some excitement. And this guy that I met a while ago, his name is Steve Betty. He's a saxophone player from Ghana.
Oh,
and
wow.
This guy, yes, he's really doing very well. And he has a very unique style that I sort of like. So I gave him a call and got him on the song.
Man. Well, that was a marriage made in musical heaven right there, because that song, with the addition of that sax, it just soars. And the interplay between you and he is just so, it's mind-boggling, and it's so funny how different songs fill you with hope. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it really is. I was pleased that the guys in Pan Africa, they really like it a lot, because they represent the tribes and stuff like that. I've never heard people that would identify a song with a tribe, but they like to dance with it, you know, and they just like the style. It has a real driving beat to it, but I try to actually have it with a cool top on it. But so I just let it go, and that's what we came up with.
It sounds so organic. It just sounds like everything fell into place, and it's got this spirit. And, of course, you know, it's personal for me, because one of my heroes is President Obama, and I just think of him carrying this music inside of him to just break free of all the nonsense that has surrounded him. So I love you for that. I just love the fact that it speaks personally to me, and anybody who is listening with half an ear, it will speak personally to them. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Trish. I got a lot of emails from that. I said, wow, this is nice. You know, I guess just the words that you said about everything, and, you know, everybody's pulling so hard for everybody, and especially the president, you know. So I enjoyed it.
You know, We who care about you, and we who see that you have put out so much incredible music through the years, and especially you being an independent artist, you know that some of us are going to do what we can to make sure that you're noticed. And Gino, I'll tell you this. It's not just because you're an independent artist, because I'm real particular about this show, and I don't want just anybody's music on, whether they're independent or whether they're signed. I know some superstars who are signed, but I don't feel them, and it has to be felt. If you can't feel the music, what's the point of programming it? Because you want what you're feeling to translate to somebody else. So this is why your track is so important. This song, it's just so beautiful and so passionate. And that's the thing about you. You're full of passion, and I appreciate you.
Well, thanks, Trish. That's why we love you so much. We really do.
Well, God bless you. But the love is mutual, honey. And what are you going to do? Is there a way for us to get a hand on Black Zulu? Can we buy it?
You'll be able to buy it tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
On iTunes. Yeah, tomorrow you'll be able to buy it and purchase it on iTunes and all the social media networks. So it'll be available tomorrow.
Awesome. That's awesome. Well, cool. Well, what we'll have to do is we'll have to put it in the mix on Tuesday again, so that people's memories are refreshed that now they can buy it.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. Gino, thank you so much for calling. That was a treat. I didn't expect it, and I loved it.
Okay. Thank you, Trish. Thank you for all your hard work. We love you.
Love you, too. Thank you so much, Gino.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Gino Goss, that was a surprise. Yay, I love surprises. Black Zulu, I just love to say it because it's just so earthy. It feels earthy. You know what? It actually, can songs be aromatic? Yes, some songs can be, and this one is. This is crazy. Where is this coming from? The line of cosmetics, Shiseido, they used to have a fragrance called Féminine Dubois, and in that fragrance was sage and musk and earthier smells, not the floral kind, oof, but the earthier kind, the kind of smells that you would find in the Aveda line. These organic, coming from the earth and hitting you with these sweet, musky smells. I smell it when I hear that song. Woo! And now, ladies and gentlemen, Todd Guggins just wrote to me, Benji Parecki plays stank funk organ. Yes, the musky kind of organ. I know what you mean, Todd. And speaking of Todd, he and Wayne will be here momentarily. We're going to turn this 180 degrees and play something for you from a trip of a musical project. Do you hear me? Tongue Jazz is the name of the CD. And I don't know what the heck, trying to figure out what tracks. I chose three because that's the normal state of affairs here. But I have to play this one because Lenny Welch is a recent friend of mine on Facebook. He's the one that made this song famous. But when I heard Swingin' in Tongues do this song, I stepped back. Since I Fell for You on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
When you give love and never get love, you better let love depart, 'cause I know it's so, and still I know I can't get you out of my heart. You made me leave happy home. You took my love and now you're gone. Since I fell for you, such misery and pain. I guess I'll never, never be the same since I fell for you. cause I get these blues.
Done by Swinging in Tongues, I said to myself, I want to marry that man. That's how serious that was. Listen, there is so much to say about this little trio. We've got two of them right here. Trish, you're saying to yourself, Swinging in Tongues? Yes, that's what I'm saying to you, my friend. Here they are, Wayne and Todd from Swinging in Tongues. Enter and sign in, please. Gentlemen, how are you?
Outstanding.
Can you hear me? Am I on the radio?
Yes, you
oh,
are.
Good.
I'm so excited. Oh, my God. So excited.
Great.
Listen, how on earth did this come to be, this little threesome, this triumvirate, if you will?
Shall I tell the history, Todd?
Please, go to it, Wayne.
Well, Jameson and I have been playing at a restaurant here in Washington, D.C. for about, maybe 12-something years. And we started with a wonderful vocalist by the name of Nicky Gonzalez. We had a little group together called Trio Balança. We did a lot of jazz, a lot of Brazilian music, which Nicky is amazing at. And at one point she had enough of the gig. She loved us, but didn't love the gig so much. and also she eventually moved out to Los Angeles, so that kind of took her out of the loop. And we struggled for a little bit to find somebody to replace her. When we landed on Mr. Googins as one of the substitutes, we said, no, wait a second, this is better than a substitute. This is somebody that we really like working with. And I think the feeling was mutual, you know, almost immediately.
Absolutely.
Don't you think so, Todd?
Absolutely. I know that I am incredibly blessed to be playing with these sensational players. The two of them are great guys, but also teachers of mine for sure. You know, my roots very much come from blue-eyed soul and R&B and even the lots of great stories about the pop before that too, and terrifying. But anyway, so, you know, I came on the scene to that great gig at George Brown's, and I'm learning a lot all the time. You know, these guys really speak to the history of jazz music in their playing, so they help me bring my own sense of jazz authenticity to what I'm doing while recognizing the history of it as well.
You know,
I think if you have the sense of feel, of rhythm, of the ear and the technique of someone like Todd, is not that big a step from where he was to what he's doing.
Oh,
and
no.
And he proved that, you know, almost immediately taking on, you know, stuff and then coming up with his own ideas, and, you know, kind of the teaching kind of turned around a little bit. Now he's teaching us a little bit. So it's been so much fun.
My brother.
Well, This is so odd. A couple of odd things. First of all, Todd, I have known you as far as communication is concerned, but I've never heard you speak, so I'm tripping. I didn't know that your voice was like that. I just love it. And here's the offshoot of that, because, look, people think that I know everything. No, I just learn as I go. So Todd presented this tongue jazz scenario to me, and I'm going, well, that's interesting. Because and again, this was going back now several weeks. So here is the honest-to-goodness scenario. Hadn't talked to Sweet Cheeks Chisholm yet about the whole project. Carla is in the chat room, and Here's the deal. I did not know what was going on with this swinging in tongues, tongue jazz bit. I heard the music, and I went, wow. And I still didn't know because there was no credits involved. It was just the music from a download. So here's me. I go to the website, and I see these three little shiny white faces. And I say to myself,
shiny.
And I say, isn't that interesting? I wonder where they got that old black man to sing one of the leads. I did not know that there was all of that in there.
Indeed. You know, as I tell people in general, I think it entirely comes from what you listened to growing up and sort of in your musically formative years. And I listened to a ton of R&B, but I also listened to a lot of pop back in the day and didn't realize at the time that some of my greatest pop heroes were incredibly influenced by some of the most amazing soul R&B singers of the day. For example, Steve Perry of Journey. If you were ever to exactly. Oh, I say it again. But anyway, if you were to set him up and listen to him sing some of his greatest riffs, well, you could easily tie them back to the most incredible recordings that Sam Cooke ever made. There's an easy and direct correlation. So anyway, I realized that some of my favorite influences were actually just copying, you know, some great Sam Cooke.
Oh,
right, indirectly.
Yes, without a doubt. And Steve Perry bears some mentioning here because I don't know if you two know this, but he's been out of the scene for a few years, and the reason that, you know about that.
Absolutely.
So, you know, keep him in your good thoughts and prayers because he's, I think that he's cancer-free right now, but...
I think he is, too.
Oh, that would be wonderful because, you know what, we're not going to lose anybody in 2014, okay? Can we just make this promise?
Please.
Nobody dies in 2014.
We certainly lost too many in 2013.
You're a serious loss. Yeah,
brutal.
Oh, yeah, it's just crazy. So, Wayne, you know, you're so interesting because you're this keyboard guy, and I've heard your name so much through the years.
Wow.
And now I finally have a chance to talk to Wayne. you've been playing for a while, and it's mostly been the D.C. area, correct?
Yes, I'm an old black man who's been playing for... that's who you heard. No, I've been playing here. I moved here in 1989 from our mutual home state, me and Todd's home state of New York. I'm actually from
New York.
And I moved down in 1989 here with my wife and to start a new life. And I wanted to play jazz. And you're saying, well, you can't play jazz in New York. What the hell? But the truth is, you know, it was very hard for me to break in there, being my hometown, because I was competing with some of the legends of jazz. So I had done a lot of work in the R&B field. In fact, I was with a group called Sky, SKYY, for about 9 years up there. And that seemed to kind of...
Your last year of that tenure was 1989, wasn't it?
Exactly. That was when I retired from the band, saying, I think my time is done here. And we're good friends still, but, you know, I just had enough and wanted to get back to playing jazz. So I came down here to D.C., and it took me about a year and a half or so to really start making good connections. But once I did, it's just been fabulous for me.
I'm so glad to hear that because, and, you know, this is something that needs to get said because I wonder, and I'll put it to both of you, do you get recognized in your own home turf? Do you really need to go away and then come back victorious in order to have those accolades thrown, the flowers thrown at your feet? Or does that even matter to you? You found your niche, Wayne, in D.C. And apparently, Todd, you have two in double doses because you and Carla are both going through your own success. Is it a matter of place? Is every place different? How do you feel about that?
You want me to go?
Yeah.
Okay, well, for me personally, you know, I had done the touring thing, you know, lots of records. You know, we had a gold record and, you know, number one hit and everything. And, you know, and I felt like that part of my life, you know, being like a commercial success was maybe not what I was into it for. You know, like they said, you know, the dumb jazz musician was in it for the money, right? and I maybe not what I wanted. What I wanted was, you know, artistic fulfillment, you know, and still to be able to make a living and raise a family. And I think that's what I was able to do here, which is, you know, I don't think I could have done that, you know, being on tour and all this. It's very difficult to pull that off if you give your entire life to touring and what you have to do nowadays in particular to be a successful musician, which where recording will not pay your bills.
You really did say a mouthful there because, you know, cost of living is different from city to city, and circumstances are far different. And we can talk all day about being a big fish in a little pond or big fish in a big pond or a little fish in a little pond. But the fact of the matter is that when things happen organically, one after the other, you kind of know where you're supposed to be, don't you?
I think so. Todd will attest to this, that, you know, there is no shortage of master musicians in this area.
Yeah,
we're very blessed.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, and that's been, you know, to me, having great people to play with and learn from, and I mean that's been spectacular. So you know that you don't really drop. There's no drop off from the musicians in New York to here. I mean, I didn't find any at all.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I lived in New York. I grew up in New York State, and had a tenure in New York City for about 10 years, and met some extraordinary musicians. But yeah, I agree with you, Rand. When you you come back to D.C. and you realize the quality is absolutely the same,
and especially for what you're doing, because of course I'm older than both of you, so I remember music from the 50s. Gosh darn it, and the. The early 60s, and of course I'm thinking of Lambert, Hendrix, and Ross.
Oh, yeah.
And what was so groovy about that whole little beatnik vibe back then in that particular phase of jazz, is this what you had in mind? You know, you've got the voice, you've got the drums, and the keys. What is it that you had in mind? Why this direction?
Well, you know, definitely, as we discussed a little earlier, had brought or bring a blue-eyed soul thing to what I know Wayne and Jameson, you know, were creating. And what they were creating, of course, is real sort of authentic jazz, be it Brazilian style or whatever. So, you know, I think that there was a certain necessity, both for the gig that we were doing and just in terms of what was in my bag at the moment, to really bring in a lot of the soul, you know, and sort of it was a happy confluence that met and created this, if I may, hybrid style that we're really loving to perform.
Does it lend itself with this kind of array of feels on this CD, which is just so hilarious? But it's hilarious in the best way, because it's fresh and nobody else is doing this that I know of, especially in this mid-Atlantic region, and we desperately need. It's like this beautiful throwback to what was awesome. And then you're pulling it into 2014 and bringing people up to speed about cerebral, good vibey, R&B infused jazz stuff, hybrid goodness.
That's wonderful to hear that you feel that way, because I know that we consciously were trying to infuse a lot of those different factors in the music. Would you agree, Wayne? I mean, in terms of, you know, we wanted to speak to the soul. We wanted to speak to the jazz, and we also worked on the arrangements of the tunes in hopes that there was some sense of intellectual goodness going on there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the things I'm most proud about the record, and I really have to hand it to especially Todd and Jameson for this, they really drove the idea of let's make each one of these tracks autonomous. Let's make each tune have its own personality. And, I mean, I think that really shines through. We're, like Carla just said on the chat room, it's pretty much what we do when we're on stage, right, which is just go jump from genre to genre and hopefully kick ass on all of them, you know. And,
well said.
And I think that's what the record is. It's exactly that. And yet it's because our sound remains the same track to track. You know, it seems like, you know, a uniform recording. I love it.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, there's something to be said, too, especially since we had Jonathan Butler here at the beginning of the show, and I thought, he's going to trip when he sees, oh, I'm sharing the bill with Swinging in Tongues. Whoa, I wonder what that's all about. Oh, it was so awesome. So there is this sense of, and we need this too, actually, in this particular region, because people take their music so seriously. And we need to have some fun and irreverence, don't we?
Yes.
We really do.
Well, I think irreverence comes to us very naturally.
Absolutely. Anyone who hangs out with Jameson can't help but be irreverent. That's his entire ethos.
But yet you say on the website, Tongue Jazz, that Jameson keeps you in line. So now I'm scared.
Musically.
Okay.
Musically.
That's right.
Gotcha.
I think Larry is appropriate there.
We keep him in line.
Jameson, if I may just for a second, you know, Jameson is an extraordinary songwriter and artist in his own right. He put out a fantastic record in 2006 called Everybody Feels the Same. And if you are interested in something new and refreshing and amazing, it is still extremely viable today. Everybody Feels the Same. Great, great record.
It is
phenomenal.
He put an unbelievable amount of time into that thing. I remember when he first started recording it, it was like when I first met him. And he was very, very careful about everything that got on that record, and it's just, it shows. It's just fantastic. And he sings, even though he doesn't on our record, which we get taken to task about all the time.
You know, that's so amazing that all three of you found one another. You know, again, no coincidences happening in the universe, everything flowing into one particular sphere into another. And, you know, I think that it would be good right now to play a song. God forbid that we should end this hour without playing this particular track. And a couple of people in the chat room I know have told me that they want to hear this song. So God help us if we don't do it.
Okay.
And you know which one it is because it's for all the Prince fans. Come on. You know.
All right.
It's just one of those sexy interpretations of the song, and especially if it's going to be done by Swinging in Tongues, that's all the more sexier in the song.
Yeah, I was feeling very sexy at the time, I remember.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yes, that's
okay.
Right.
Okay. Whoa! All right now. This is Swinging in Tongues from Tongue Jazz and Kiss on Hybrid Jazz.
You don't have to be beautiful to turn me on. I just need your body, baby, from dusk till dawn. You don't need experience to turn me out. You just leave it all up to me. I'm gonna show you what it's all about. You don't have to be. My
just want your kiss. Always. You got to not talk dirty, baby, if you wanna impress me. You can't be too flirty, mama. I know how to undress me. Y'all kiss. Here we go, darling.
Are with us. I'm so sorry that Jameson is not here because now I'm really intrigued by Jameson.
He's extremely intriguing. Hey, Jameson,
yes.
I know you're listening.
That's awesome. And Carla, you know, I'm a little concerned because she's dancing where she is, and if there are windows, she might get a whole lot more folks coming into the store than she bargained for. So
that's right. You're allowed that,
true,
Carla.
This
you know
is
true.
Oh, you, of course, because I know how she does. Oh, mercy. Hey, how did things go, by the way, with Carla's? And you had Georgia Brown's, and Carla had a big recording on Sunday. How did that go?
It went very, very well. I actually was able to catch the second half of the show. And,
good.
And she was just extraordinary. Of course, she was playing on that gig with some fantastic, fantastic guys. Mike Reisick was playing guitar. Jeff Reed was playing bass, stand-up bass. And Eli Staples was playing keys. And they're, of course, all major, major players in the area. And my wife is simply an extraordinary show person. And her voice was incredible. It's going to be released pretty soon as a live record, and I can't wait to hear it.
Oh, yes. Well, we know Carla is a goddess, and I have said that for a while. So
we're all in agreement there.
Yes, absolutely. This is so awesome that I have both of you, because this came together in a relatively short space of time.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There are a gazillion questions. Here's one. Choice of material. Who gets to decide, or is it a group decision? Is somebody more passionate about one song than another? Because I'm very intrigued by a couple of these songs that you decided to do them. Tell me how that developed. Yeah.
You want to start with this one, Wayne?
Sure. I mean, I got to say one thing about this group. Everything we do is a group decision. I mean, everything.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things. I mean, there is nothing, you know, if anybody's unhappy, then we don't do it. And even if they're outnumbered. So everyone's got to be happy. And I think with this record, everything that got on the record, we were all happy with. You know, and
yeah,
we had
there were a couple few that we left off for
exactly.
That
exactly. A couple of things we did. Now, the only, if you listen to the whole record, the only thing on the record that that doesn't have the full trio is the last piece, which is we covered a beautiful Michael McDonald ballad called "I Can Let Go Now." It's one of my personal favorite songs.
Oh, honey. Oh, yes.
The story behind that was Todd came over here to just work on some, you know, on a fix here and a fix there. And we kept saying, well, we only really have 8 tracks. We need at least one more. And so I said, well, let's come on. We've done this song live. Let's try it in here. And I think we did it twice, right, Todd?
Yeah, we did. And I remember it was one of those extraordinary recording experiences where the song just created this atmosphere, and I was absolutely all teary as I was singing the song. Because who hasn't been in that place that the song speaks of? You know, it was so right, it was so wrong, almost at the same time. The pain and ache a heart can take, no one really knows. I was tossed high by love, and I almost never came down, only to land here where love's no longer found. But I'm no longer bound, and I can let go now.
Yeah, it's amazing. Who hasn't felt that or been through that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, you can just get up on stage and do dramatic narratives about that if you want to, and it would be all right. Wow.
Oh, that was from from Mike McDonald's 1982 record. I can call it "If That's What It Takes," I think.
Right,
and that's the one that had that was his first one. How'd I Keep Forgetting on it? Great record.
It is. Well, it is. There's so many good tracks on that record.
Let me tell you something. One of the intriguing tunes that I found on Tongue Jazz was by another Michael, Mike Reed, who I had a chance to meet years ago when I was involved in country music. Now, who would have ever thought that Mike Reed from the Cincinnati Bengals was capable of writing a song like "I Can't Make You Love Me"?
I mean, are you kidding me?
That's for real. Yep.
Can I tell my great story about that song?
Oh, please.
My daughter, who went to Berklee College of Music and graduated, is a fabulous songwriter in her own right. Went down when she was at Berklee to have a master class in Nashville with Mike Reed. And then Mike Reed was telling the story of the writing of that song. Apparently, he was watching some newscast, and somebody this guy had his house burned down or something. I don't remember the details of the story, but had this horrific breakup with this woman. Apparently it led to some violence and problems. And they were interviewing on the news, and he goes, and they said, well, have you learned anything from this? And he goes, well, you can't make them love you if they don't.
That's right.
And he said, that's a great idea for a song. And he ended up writing this up-tempo like country tune. I can make you love me if you don't. And then someone said, maybe you should do this as a ballad. So that's how it became what it was.
Sense.
Say that again?
I said, can't you just hear it? It makes sense.
No. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I can't make you love me if you don't.
Yeah.
Well, and then all the more reason, because it, from what I heard, it was a judge. And the judge asked the guy, have you learned anything from this?
That's what
and
it
the
was.
Guy
okay,
said,
yeah, that's right.
I learned, that's Your true. Honor, that you can't make a woman love you if she don't.
Yeah.
Oh,
the judge, right. I don't know why I remembered a TV interview, but, yeah, it's the same concept. But it's so funny that you would hear that and just think, oh, that's a song.
Isn't that something? And then you know, it's so interesting because when a man sings it, it's one story. When a woman sings it, it's another. So the beauty of the flavors and the textures of that song, it's a gift that keeps on giving. And you know who really turned our heads a few years ago? She was in town for a special concert with Bill Cosby. Nancy Wilson sang that song, ladies and gentlemen.
One of my favorites.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know,
yeah, Nancy,
just forget it.
And she still sounds great, doesn't she?
I think so. Look, a lot of us were trying to very actively get her recognized by the Kennedy Center this year because she does deserve it so much. And she had her website hacked after her manager passed away earlier this year. So, we don't know if she's gone into hiding a little bit, but the last time that we saw her, she was magnificent, magnificent. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and that leads to ask you. So, Wayne, you go first. Who is it that inspired you to get involved in music, and who still keeps you ticking, like encouraging you in the back of your mind? Keep on going, baby. You got it. You got it.
Now, do you mean musically or personally?
Oh, well, musically, because, you know, we could talk for the rest of the afternoon about personally.
Yeah, well, musically, I mean, I'm like a child of my generation. Obviously, the Beatles were very important. And, you know, there are plenty of other things that got me involved in music in the first place. And, you know, the Doors, because they had a keyboard player, so I felt like, oh, that's something I could do. But when I got older and I really started getting into alternate styles from what was on the radio, the main people that really inspired me were Wayne Shorter and John Coltrane, and I would say Chick Corea. Those are probably the three main people who I was inspired by, and Wayne in particular, because he's the one who turned me on to Brazilian music that wasn't. That wasn't, you know, just Bossa Nova, by doing the record with Milton Nascimento. And once I heard Milton, and Milton continues to be my inspiration as far as writing and you know, just his whole direction has always been so creative and so original and fresh.
Yeah, when you delve into Brazilian music and you get past the topical, what everybody knows in pop circles from the late 50s, early 60s, and really dig deep into Brazilian music, Milton is at the forefront of that. And again, we often talk about this on this show, but there are so many people who don't necessarily get the recognition that they deserve. Mm-hmm. And he's one of those amazing individuals who just paved the way for other people who took it and ran, you know?
Absolutely.
Oh, my.
Certainly for me, and also Dijah Vaughan, if you're familiar with him and his music, you know, has always been an inspiration for me as a writer and as, you know, as someone who likes to record. You know, I listen to how they put their records together, the creativity of it. It's just so on another level to me, you know.
That's really interesting that you, and I'm so tickled that you have that love of what is not necessarily, you know, we've all had our inspirations growing up, and I'm of the generation, gosh, I was 11 years old when I first saw the Beatles. So all of that rock, the greatness of that rock then, and then as we get older, we really appreciate the jazz elements and how the rock people were inspired by the jazz.
Oh, yeah.
And the jazz in turn was inspired by the blues. So it's just fascinating to uncover what turns people on.
Yeah, and I mentioned earlier the Doors. I mean, if it wasn't for that long version of Light My Fire, I probably never would have been ready to hear My Favorite Things by Coltrane. And that was, it really paved my ear for that because it was absolutely inspired by Coltrane. You know, and you listen to it and you go, oh, that's modal playing. Now I understand what that means. You know, it's the same thing I was doing and know the hell I was doing at 12 years old. You know? So.
Wow. And Todd, what about you? I mean, I can pretty much guess because you really have an appreciation of different kinds of music all across the page. I know that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I grew up in a home where some of my father's favorite music was the older and incredible big band music. So that got me thinking in the first place.
Woo.
And again, you know, there was a passion for music, and I, of course, the person who got me on the road to this whole thing was my mother. Of course, so many people are inspired by their parents, but my mom, who sings as well in her church. I remember us sitting down. That's not true. She was making cookies, and I was standing looking up at her. And she said, you know, she gave that question. So what do you think that you might want to be? And you know, and she gave me some regular choices. And she said, well, you know, you just did this this play, and I had this one line where I said, oh Santa, I thought I would want to be an entertainer of some sort. And then it went on, and I realized there's nothing for me but singing and performing. That's what I was put here to do, for sure.
That's so
cool. I will
cool.
second that. You
yeah.
absolutely were put here to do that.
Man.
You're amazing at it.
Thanks.
No kidding. It's so cool to hear you guys have a little love fest toward one another. Jameson's not here, but, you know, it's because, look, anything that you can do to have the kind of chemistry that people crave to hear when they see you in person, you
mm-hmm.
are literally taking away the crap that they go through on a day-to-day. You know?
Thankful to have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And very aware that that's part of what's going on, too, in the moment.
And they tell us,
that's
too.
That's wonderful. Do they? Yeah?
Yes, they do. That's the one of the great things. Even if maybe there's not as much applause as you would expect at some of these venues, people always come up to me and say, you just made my day, you know, and that, of course, makes my day.
Mm-hmm.
See, people don't necessarily recognize that. There are people who are on stage, and sometimes it can be tolerated, but I've seen some musicians who are morose on stage and far too contemplative. And it's just, it's a beautiful thing when you are like one-to-one with yourself, but people rely on you to take them away. And that's
right.
Not such a big thing to ask. It's not. Because if you've got this gift and you're sharing the gift, the reason why you're sharing it is because other people need it. We
yeah.
need you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, I... Just to touch on the conversation that you were having with Jonathan earlier, you know, one of the things that I do on my own before any performances, you know, I just I ask God to come in the room and just be a part of it, you know, and hope that we can
That's
be
awesome.
Instruments to reach out and share, you know, our joy and our experience and really lift people out of what's going on with them. And, you know, when I think of swinging in tongues, you know, of course, I'm sure everybody always wonders where that came from. Actually, I think Wayne was the one who came up with it initially,
True.
Right, Wayne?
Yep.
And for me...
And
so,
I was amazed that they said, yeah, that sounds good. Like, what? Really?
Oh, it was great. I mean, talk about memorable, you know. And I remember we were trying to come up with a website. The name of the website, and we thought, Swinging in Tongues. Well, you know, spelling tongues is a challenge up front. So what are you going to do with that? But it's a big part of it. So we thought, oh, tongue jazz, done. And, you know, let the chips fall where they may.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. you got to get people's attention. And, look, this is the beauty of the show today because, look, it was speaking and swinging in tongues. We had it all today.
You're here. That's right.
I love it. Oh, my God. It's just
indeed.
Yes, it really is. And that's such a conversation piece when you say, oh, yeah, swinging in tongues. What? Yeah. And their website is tonguejazz.com.
I do get a lot of people saying to me, you know, when I tell them the name of the group, they go, what, are you all Christian revivalists or something? Were you listening or what?
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that funny? Well, you know, people make up their minds way ahead of time,
frequently,
don't they?
I think. Yeah, they do.
They just don't relax and let the moment happen. And we've got a couple of moments here because the song is 2 minutes and 30 seconds. I have to put East End Bull in this hour. Can I please do that?
Oh, God.
Oh, fun.
So you're going to make people hear me sing now, huh?
Here, here. Come on now.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's fun.
This is one of those.
It turned out one of the things that Todd and I realized, we were both big fans of They Might Be Giants.
Of course, it's their
version of the song that we were channeling when we did this recording.
That's right.
And the funny thing is, what I didn't realize is a friend of mine, her uncle or great uncle wrote this tune.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he told me, oh, no, he wrote Istanbul. I was like, what? You're kidding me. I love that song.
This was,
oh, my gosh.
Was he in The Four Lads?
Is that who did the original version of this?
Yeah, but the tune came out in 1953.
Yeah, I know it's that old. Wow.
Yeah. Be careful now, because I was born in 52, so somebody's going to get smacked, all right?
Back off there, fellas.
I knew the song was ancient. Oh, all right. No, that's cool. Hey, look, some of us are ancient, and some of these songs are, and you can tell, but that's what's so cool about the three of you, because you are bringing what sounded so fresh and making it fresher. And I appreciate you because it seems as though this is the perfect unit to turn a new generation on to great music.
Do you
feel that way? Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, it's part of the goal. One of the things that I thought about, and I don't even know if I shared this with you, Wayne, but when we were making this record, I thought of Eva Cassidy's commitment to music and how she, first of all, she wasn't really all that interested in any of the fame or anything that went along with that. Of course, a lot of that came after she passed. But her goal was simply to make music that she liked. And, of course, she had forays into folk and great jazz records she did with Chuck Brown and all kinds of stuff. You know, so I think it's really about it's about the music first, and you know, let everybody else decide what kind of music it is.
Yeah,
and that's really interesting because the story was that Chuck and Eva had not met, but the producer for both had introduced Chuck to Eva's voice, and Chuck was very smitten. And when they finally met, he said, "No, you are not the person who I heard on that cassette tape. Come on." And it just was one of those situations where, and I had a chance to communicate briefly with Chuck a couple of years ago. This was before he got sick. I had written to him, and I had said, "I listened to you and what you did with Eva. And it seemed as though you fulfilled each other's mission, each other's dream. Chuck wanted to do jazz, and Eva wanted to get into the vibe that Chuck had in mind. She wanted to relax and groove into that other spectrum of that talent that she had." And he wrote back and said, "Do you believe, Trish, that I still miss her every day of my life?"
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Well, yeah. I believe it.
Yeah.
I've heard only the most incredible things about her.
Oh, my gosh. What a spirit she was. Lord have mercy. Istanbul, to get into a more positive vibe, this is one of those tracks from the Swinging in Tongues triumvirate. I'm always going to say that about you guys, the triumvirate.
I love it.
Tongue Jazz, Istanbul on Hybrid Jazz. Check it out.
Istanbul was Constantinople, now it's Istanbul. Constantinople been a long time gone. Constantinople, now it's Turkish delight on a moonlit night. Every gal in Constantinople lives in Istanbul. Constantinople, so if you could date in Constantinople, she'll be waiting in Istanbul.
Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say.
People just like it better that way.
Take me back to Constantinople. No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Been a long time gone. Constantinople, why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks.
Die. one to Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say.
People just like it better that way.
Take me back to Constantinople. No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Been a long time gone. Constantinople, why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the church.
I can't say. You just like it better than way. Take me back to Constantinople. No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Been a long time gone. Constantinople, why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the church.
Needs to be playing at some of these political parties to loosen these cats up.
Eerie.
Oh, Lord, that is some fun shiggity, as Huggy Lowdown would say.
Yes, there was a significant amount of shiggity going on there. There was.
That must be so enjoyable. I mean, recording is one thing, but being on stage, is it like a high all the time, both of you? I mean, it must be.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, sharing a stage with this guy, you got to be kidding me. It's so much fun.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun, and a lot of fun looks are exchanged throughout the performances. It's great. And, of course, a lot of times either by intention or not, we have no idea where we're going. So it's always very, very exciting.
We do open ourselves up for requests, which certainly can can make it interesting, especially if one or more of us doesn't know the song we're playing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that is awfully brave. Oh, my God. So do you fake it?
That's the word I use, yes.
Oh,
but
that's
you know,
that's
somehow
awesome.
You know, when you're working with really good musicians, it always seems to just work its way out. You know, it's if you don't know, then we what was the song that we did, Ty, where we only do like one verse of it, but it sounded really good last time.
Oh, that's is that the I can't think of the name of it, the long ago.
Yeah, right. We did Superstar.
Right.
Oh,
you can imagine what it sounds like with Todd doing it. It's like, you know, this beautiful, soulful, smoky thing, and then there's like in the whole second verse, but I guess, you know, Todd's not that familiar with it or something, and of course he sings the first verse like he's been singing it since he was three. So I'm assuming, well, how do you not know the rest of it? But it sounds incredible.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah, that would be lovely. You have to learn that song, Todd. My God.
You know what? You got to come out and check us out at George Brown's. I'll sing the whole thing for you. There you go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, listen, and that reminds me, first of all, where can we see you next? And secondly, what would you like to see? I think that all of you guys are pretty settled and are really happy with the way things are. So ordinarily the question would be, what would you like to see happen? Because, honestly, it's already happening for you, isn't it, to a very large extent.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, what I would want to happen is for us to continue to grow musically together and just make fantastic, new, exciting music wherever it may take us.
That's awesome. That's cool.
You're here. I also, you know, I think that we could be doing, you know, a little more in the concert venues. You know, we certainly could the way the group sounds. I mean, you know, right now we're just basically, you know, a restaurant group. But I mean, I think that, you know, considering the sound that Todd gets and the response he elicits from an audience, I don't see why we wouldn't be able to play, you know, a larger room and actually be a ticket.
Oh my gosh!
Paula's
yes.
done it and done a beautiful job with it, and she's a phenomenal musician and vocalist and also a great promoter. She does a wonderful job with that too.
She does. She really does.
So I think that we could do some of that similar stuff. I think, you know, we certainly have that kind of chemistry that we can pull that off with an audience.
Yep,
you're absolutely right, and that's a goal for the new year. Andy Music,
yes.
in Baltimore, Bethesda Blues and Jazz, and Blues Alley. Let's just focus on those three, shall we?
Okay.
Yep. Absolutely, okay. and that's actually good. What we're doing. That's what we're doing.
We are.
Oh, good.
We're looking for a CD release party, and I think we're aiming for Blues Alley. Isn't that correct, Todd?
Yep.
Oh.
Okay. We'll see. Yep. Now, no dates and no confirmation yet, so we'll all cross our fingers.
But we do
have product,
so that's the important part. We have something to sell if we get there.
Well, we need to find some networking folks together. There's a few wonderful shows coming up at Blues Alley in the next few weeks. Our friend Micah Chevalier is going to be there on Tuesday mm-hmm. with some
yeah.
superior musicians. Wayne Escoffery is going to follow that on next Wednesday. And then... Lynn Fidmont, first call singer from L.A., is coming in December. So I think that your friends and your fans, fam, should all get together and talk en masse to all the folks who make decisions at Blues Alley and say, you know, we've got these guys that need to be booked as soon as possible in the new year.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking
okay.
about.
Friend.
Yeah, that's it. A little pressure never hurt anybody, Wayne or Todd, you know?
You're just trying to do it legally, right, Trish?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Yep, I'm talking spiritual. I'm leaning on God for a lot of this. I'm just going to pray a lot and see what transpires, because I think the world of all three of you, and you're going to make some serious inroads, that's for sure.
Trish, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And look, I saved. I can't let go. I can let go now for the end of the show.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like I said, we ran that song twice, and it was great the first time. But the second time when we finished, we just looked at each other. Do you remember this, Todd?
I do.
What was that?
Yeah.
And
right.
Of course,
yeah.
That was the take, because we just knew that we had just taken it. And I remember, because Jameson wasn't here. You know, we played it for him, and he was like, dude, this is like an amazing recording. He was in shock, you know. So,
it really special.
We're very happy with it. I think what Todd does with this tune is just, you know, respects to Michael and the other versions I've heard of it. I think he just takes it to the next level emotionally. It's just phenomenal.
It really is. There's a lot inside of you, Todd, and I really appreciate that so much. And I appreciate you, Wayne, because you've got this amazing spirit in you that just pops out. And Jameson, his contribution. I hope to see you soon. And tonguejazz.com has the information. Thank you again for being on the show. I appreciate you all.
Thanks so much for having us, Trish. We really appreciate the forum and appreciate you.
It's a real
pleasure. Thank you so much. Bless your heart. We'll see you soon, down the road.
Yep. Sounds great.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All the best.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Swinging in tongues here, and I can let go now on Hybrid Jazz.
It was so right. Was so wrong, almost at the same time. The pain and ache a heart can't take. No one really knows when the memories claim. Thank you. do you no longer care, and you can let go now. It's wrong for me to cling to you. Somehow I just needed time. Somehow I just needed time from what was to be. It's not like me to hold somebody down, but I was tossed high by love, and I almost never came down.